Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to KEI Industries Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Zico. Good afternoon, everyone. We are pleased to host the senior management of KEI Industries today, and we have with us Mr. Anil Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Rajeev Gupta, CFO of the company. Let us start the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we'll move to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Yeah. So thank you very much. I'm Anil Gupta. Welcome to this conference call of KEI Industries Limited investor conference call. I welcome all of my esteemed investors on this call. We'll brief you about the Q4 numbers and then the annual numbers of FY23. In Q4 of FY23, the net sales achieved is 1,954 crore against same quarter in previous year, rupees 1,792 crore. So growth in net sales is 9.06%. However, the volume growth in this quarter is around 13% because of the lower prices of metals during third quarter and having affected this quarter as well. EBITDA in this quarter is rupees 208.88 crore against rupees 179 crore last year, same quarter. The growth in EBITDA is 16.23%. So EBITDA/net sales margin is 10.69% against 10.03% in the same period previous year. Profit after tax is rupees 138.11 crore against rupees 115.88 crore last year. Growth in the profit after tax is 19.19%. So consequently, the profit after tax/net sales margin is 7.07% versus 6.47% achieved last year during the same period. Domestic institutional sale is 712 crore rupees against 660 crore last year with a growth of 8%. The sales of extra high-voltage cable is 102 crore against 146 crore same period last year. Export sale in this quarter is 164 crore against rupees 177 crore in the same period last year. Total cable institutional sale contribution is 48% as against 52% in the last year's same quarter. Sales to distribution dealer of distribution network, that means B2C, was rupees 822 crore in the fourth quarter against 717 crore. The growth is approximately 15%. So the B2C sale contributed approximately 42% in the fourth quarter against 40% in the last year. The sales of EPC division is rupees 135 crore against 109 crore. The growth is approximately 24%. Out of the total sales of EPC, the sales of extra high-voltage cable EPC, the turnkey execution is rupees 65 crore against 37 crore in the same quarter last year. Sales of stainless steel wire is rupees 63 crore against rupees 61 crore in the same quarter last year. The volume increase in the cable division on the basis of production and consumption of metal in Q4 of 2022-23 is approximately 13%. Similarly, in house wire, the sales, the Q4 sales are 478 crore against 466 crore last year, of 2.55%. However, the volume growth in the houseware sales is 13%. The value sales has come down because of the decrease in the copper prices by approximately, and consequently the selling prices by approximately 10% in this quarter. But however, the full year increase in the sales of housewire and winding wire is 23.21% over full year of 22-23. Now I'll come to the full year of 22-23. The net sales achieved in full financial year FY23 is 6,912 crore against rupees 5,727 crore in last year. The growth in net sales is 20.7%. EBITDA / net sales margin is 10.62% against 10.54% in the previous year. Profit after tax is rupees 477 crore against previous year 376 crore. The growth in the PAT is 26.89%. The PAT / net sales margin is 6.91% versus 6.57%. The domestic institutional cable sale, wires and cables, is rupees 2,390 crore in FY23, achieving a growth of 2%. Sales through dealer network is rupees 3,030 crore against rupees 2,319 crore last year. The growth is around 31%. The export sales in FY22-23 is 693 crore against rupees 585 crore last year. The growth is in the export sales is 18%. The active working dealers of the company as on 31st March 23 was approximately 1,910. The B2C sale through dealer network contributed approximately 44% in FY22-23 against previous year 40%. The total EPC sale other than cable is rupees 405 crore against 380 crore achieved last year. The growth is around 6%. The growth in the sales is mainly due to the EHV EPC sale, the extra high voltage cables turnkey sale. The total sales of EPC and EHV EPC is 147 crore against 128 crore in last year. The sales of stainless steel wire division is 248 crore in the full year against 226 crore last year. The growth is approximately 10%. Overall volume increase in the cable division on the basis of production of and consumption of metal is approximately 20%. Pending orders as on 28th April 23 is approximately 3,568 crore. Out of which EPC 946 crore, extra high voltage cable and EPC 850 crore, cable domestic 1,440 crore, and export orders of cables are 332 crore. Total borrowings as on 31st March is rupees 135 crore only for channel finance. Otherwise, the credit limit utilization is nil, and cash and balance bank balances of rupees 537 crore as on 31st March 23, as against total borrowing of 331 crore and cash and bank balances of rupees 360 crore as on 31st March 22. The acceptances, that is creditors against LC, as on 31st March 23 is 219 crore against 299 crore in FY22. So the net cash on the books is rupees 183 crore against net debt including acceptances of rupees 270 crore as on 31st March 22. During 22-23 financial year, the finance cost has decreased to rupees 34.71 crore as against 40.39 crore in the last year. The percentage of financial charges of net sales has decreased this period to 0.5% from 0.71%. Interest income earned on fixed deposits is rupees 16.49 crore against rupees 1.87 crore earned in financial year 21-22, which is included in the other income. Now I will come to the future outlook. So at present, company has repaid all its debts and is a debt-free company. Whatever cash accruals will be there, it will be used for capex for future growth and additional working capital requirements. Capacity utilized during FY23 is 91% in the cable division, 79% in the house wire division, and 87% in the stainless steel wire division. During financial year 22-23, company has spent rupees 98 crore on capital expenditure. And during the current financial year, company is doing a brownfield capex of around 45 crore in our Silvassa plant, which will generate an additional top line revenue of LT power cables of rupees approximately 500 crore. This will enable us to grow by approximately 16 to 17% in current financial year. This is apart from the brownfield, apart from this brownfield capex. In FY23-24, we have planned rupees 250 to 300 crore capex on greenfield extension for cable and wire in Gujarat products, and the construction will commence somewhere in June, and production of which will commence within 18 months of the commencement of construction, that is by end of September to December 2024. We'll be spending every year around 250 to 300 crore every year in next 3 years to maintain a CAGR growth of 17 to 18% per annum as against achieved CAGR of around 15% during last 15 years. The industry outlook. India is emerging as the fastest growing major economy in the world. And due to its very strong infrastructure pipeline and focus by central government and state governments on infrastructure, especially railways, metro railways, urban railway systems, highways, and the large buildings on hospitals and other infrastructure, we expect a very strong momentum in the cable demand in the coming few financial years. And apart from that, we hope that even real estate should be doing well. There is a very strong growth seen in solar energy projects. So we are seeing a good traction in the solar, the demand from solar developers. And then the present renewed distribution strengthening scheme by various distribution companies in India, which is funded by PFC and REC, a good demand from power distribution companies are there for RDSS projects. We are also seeing demand growing up from the manufacturing sector, and we expect that manufacturing will, sector and the private capex will also show a very strong demand, especially from the steel, oil and gas, petrochemicals, cement, and miscellaneous industries. The government emphasis on PLI schemes will definitely boost the investments in the manufacturing sector. So with this, I conclude my brief. Now I'm available for any possible questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for achieving the guidance for the year. So just two questions to start with. Firstly, for the next, you know, current fiscal 24, what are the three, four things you are working on to achieve your, you know, top line target? As you're saying, obviously CapEx is a much more focused area. Could you highlight another three, four things you're working on to achieve your 16-17% growth on top line and 11% margins that you've guided earlier for fiscal 24? That's the first question.
Yeah, LC, we are already focusing on increasing our sales to the retail dealer distributor network, which has already contributed around 44%, which we have guided last year to reach out to 44-45%. So almost we have reached to 44%. Again, for the next financial year, we are targeting for 48-50% reaching through the dealer distributor sales out of the total sales. So again, we are focusing on that. And then second part, we are more focusing on the export. So earlier we were not available in the for the US export. So now few of the products got approval from the US market. So now in this financial year, even the last quarter of the last financial year also we started exporting to the US market. So this year our export will also increase. So at present, last year our export contribution is close to 10%. So now we are targeting this contribution from 10-12% of the total sales. So, and then we are also focusing to the brownfield capex in our Silvassa plant so that the capacity will be available for the second half of the current financial year, which will enable us to again grow to 16-17%. Yes, Rahul ji.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, one second question was for Anil ji. Sir, there has been starting June 21, almost 3 million shares have been sold, you know, reported on the stock exchange, about 270 crores, is a 3% of equity. There have been some concern when we interact with your shareholders and other investors regarding this. Whatever clarity, if you could help us to understand, and if you don't mind sharing the purpose for this, and is this now done with or should we expect something more?
No, I think it is done with. We have already clarified to our large shareholder also, and again we are clarifying here also. So whatever he was intent to sell, he has completed his sale. So no future sale will be there.
And this was basically intended for buying a house property for personal use, and which was long overdue. I still didn't have even a residential house in the city to which for which we have invested.
Got it, sir. Appreciate that reply, sir. Thank you so much. And lastly, on the Gujarat plant status, you're saying the construction will pick up speed now. We should expect the first output from there sometime in September, December of next year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations to the entire KEI team for the great performance. So two questions from my side. One, if you could give us some sense on the volume growth for Q4 in cable and wires and also for the entire year. So that's my first question.
Sir, volume growth in the cable is close to 13% in Q4 and 20% for the full year.
Okay, and this is only for cables or cables and wires? I mean,
cables
the house
wire,
wires put.
Yeah, okay. Wire and cable put together.
So 13% for Q4 and 20% for the entire year, right?
Entire year, yes.
Yeah. And sir, my second question was, when we look at your raw material cost or, your gross margin, sir, when we look at spot prices of, let's say, aluminium or copper, does this affect you with a lag in the sense that the prices which were there for Q3 of FY23, would have had an impact on how your margins were in Q4, or how should we, or is it like immediate basis?
Actually, it is basically lag effect for 15 to 25 days, because in the institutional sale, we are having inventory of 2.5 months, but we are having the pending order position for 3 to 4 months. Same case with the retail, every 15 days, we are revising the prices. So there is a lag effect of 15 to 25 days.
Okay, okay. So on a blended basis, is it assume, is fair to assume 20, 25 days is the lag effect, right?
But on an average, when you average out for a year, it will not impact actually.
Okay, okay. And so just if I may just ask this one question, last one question. Now, Anilji mentioned at the start that 250 to 300 crores annual capex for the next 2-3 years. Given where the prices are currently, I'm sure compared to last year's prices, the prices currently would be lower given that the aluminum and copper prices are now lower. On this additional capex for the next 2 or 3 years, what sort of asset turn can we expect in terms of revenue addition on the current base?
See, the asset turn in our industry in the initial year is 1:4, then it goes to 1:5. That is in the table section. But if it includes the wire, then it is 1:6.
Okay. Okay. So 1:6 is at the highest potential, you mean, the highest utilization?
But for the cable division product, it's a fair, reasonable assessment is 1:5.
Sure, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, sir. I'll get back in queue. And all the very best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is in regards to the EHV cable. What kind of demand are we seeing and how is the export market for the same?
See, in the EHV cable, the last year, because of the execution delay, the sale was little bit low as compared to the 21-22. But as of now, we have the strong order book position of more than 850 crore rupees. So it is very good position now, and the demand is also very good. So in this financial year, we will be doing close to 550 to 600 crore sale for that high voltage power cable alone.
Okay, and where is the demand? So basically it's domestic or it's international also for the same?
Domestic as well as international also.
Okay. And in terms of housing wire, what kind of inventory is there at the distributor levels and how do we see the entire scenario?
At any given point of time, whenever we were discussing the inventory about the dealer distributor, they will not be having more than 15 to 25 days inventory. 15 to 25 days.
Okay. And in terms of raw material, so basically what kind of decrease in costs have we seen on a QOQ basis? And going forward, what would be your guidance?
Oh, because we cannot guide for the raw material price for the future because that is the international LME rate. But if we compare for the Q4 of this current year versus last year Q4, so the copper was decreased by the 10% as the LME rate.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Pranav from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just one question regarding the volume growth that you pointed out at 13%, considering the copper prices would have declined by say around 1.5% on a year-over-year basis.
Sir, you were talking of the volume, then we are talking only for the volume. We cannot correlate with the price because price is separate and the volume is separate.
So if you could just give a breakup of what the volume and price, volume is at 13% and price, what kind of a decline you would have seen year on year?
In the LME, is 10% price decline.
For Q4 year on year basis.
But for full year, the LME decreased by 12%.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And the aluminium LME has also decreased by close to 9% for the full year basis. So basically for full year basis, the copper LME decreased by 12% and aluminium decreased by 9%.
Thank you. We move to our next question. Our next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to understand, you know, over the last 5-6 years, we have had a very decent growth of anywhere between 15-18%. But on the margin side, it has ranged at 10.5% plus minus certain basis points. So when does the operating leverage actually click in? To 11.5%. Can you just guide on that?
You see, in future, when this greenfield capex will be done and the commercial production from there will be started, so our administrative overhead and the head office overhead will not increase to that extent, and the marketing expenses also will not increase to that expenses. So then in next 5 years' time, by 2026-27, our EBITDA margin will improve by at least by 1.5%.
So currently we are at 10.5. You are saying that on an absolute basis you are saying this, or for the
currently we are having close to 10.5 to 11%. Actually, it depends on the volatility of the raw material prices. But otherwise, it is sometime it is 11%, sometime it is 10.75% like this.
So you are basically saying this 1.5% increase. So this this is for the incremental supply you are saying from Gujarat, or as a whole you are?
As a whole, because company is same, the legal entity is same.
Okay. So in next 5 years, where does this 11, 10 and half, 11, 10 go to 12.5?
Yes. But sir, you see, we are more focusing on the absolute number because we don't want that we should not increase in terms of the value and we increase the margin, but the absolute number will not be there. So we are focusing that we should grow at least 15-17% kind of range in terms of the value, even though we can increase little bit in the EBITDA and the PAT. Because our interest cost is not increasing, even though our sale is increasing. So ultimately our PAT is increasing year-on-year basis. PAT percentage.
Yes.
So ultimately the cash profit available to the company is more year-on-year basis.
Yeah, but it is fair to assume that with the new large plant coming up, and I assume sir told that around 250 to 300 crore for the next year, so it is like 800 to 1000 crore investment, right?
Yes.
For the next 3 years.
And all will be from internal accrual, because right now we are having close to 400 to 500 crore balance available with the company, and every year we are accruing close to 600 crore cash profit.
Okay. And just on the current capacity-wise, while you did mention, you know, in terms of the utilization, cable is at 91%. Even if we were to the Silvassa plant, 45 crore, I suppose the benefits will probably come in H2 of this year, right? Not in H1.
No, in H1 also, last year we invested around 98 crore. So close to 45 crore rupees we invested in Silvassa alone. So that capacity has already increased because of that.
Already come up.
Yeah, that has already come up. So from April onward, we are taking the sale from there. So we did actually two brownfield capex in Silvassa. One had completed, and one will complete in September.
Okay, so the one that you have done was 98 crore. The second will be of 45 crore. Fair to understand that?
So that's how we are targeting the growth of 16-17% on the basis of the capacity available in the wire and the cable, and the brownfield capex.
Thank you. Mr. Abhineet Anand, may we request you to join the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So just one clarification on CapEx. We're guiding for 250 to 300 crore this year. Does that include 45 crore brownfield CapEx at Silvassa?
No, that is in addition to that.
Okay, so probably then 300 to 350 crore FY24 CapEx, right? Okay. And second, sir, I think we gave overall volume growth for the cable and wire business. Is it possible to break that into wires business? Like how much is it for housing wire and for quarter and the full year?
The wire is 13%.
That is for Q4, we said, right?
Q4.
And for full year, sir?
And for full year, the wire is 31%.
31%, okay. And last, sir, we had a very good improvement in the working capital in last couple of years. Do you see there is scope to improve working capital intensity further on both inventory as well as receivable days?
Sir, inventory will remain the same level, but the receivable days, which is right now is 2.4 months. So in the current financial year, it will reach to 2.2 months.
Okay.
Because our retail will increase.
Right. Inventory, sir, particularly has come down a lot. Wondering, can these levels sustainable?
Yeah, this level is sustainable.
Okay, cool. And last, sir, may I ask order backlog breakup? I couldn't note it down.
Order backlog is 3,568 crore, out of which EPC is 946 crore. Extra high voltage power cable, which is include the cable as well as the EPC portion, it is 850 crore rupees. And domestic cable institutional order book is 1,440 crore rupees. And export order for the cable is 332 crore rupees.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Keyur from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. First is on the EHV cable. We have seen degrowth for FY23 and now I think you are guiding for much higher number for FY24. So what transpired in FY23 and why it will come back in 24? That is first question. And second question, when you talk about 16-17% overall revenue growth, what segments will grow above say company average and what will drag the overall revenue growth? Just a breakup of this. Thank you.
See, in extra high voltage cable, we had orders in FY23, but a lot of large orders could not be executed because the clearances from the transmission utility and the right of the way permissions were not there. So, hence, it could not be converted into sale. Presently, the order book of extra high voltage cable is 850 crore and even the new orders will be pouring in further. We are absolutely confident that of achieving around 600 crore sales in this financial year. And the second question was?
16-17%
growth. It will be majorly coming from low tension cables and house wire sections. And also we have the capacities in HT and EHV also. So overall, we have projected a growth of around 16-17% in FY24.
Okay, sir, just one follow-up on this. When you say 91% capacity utilization in cables overall, while B2B segment is growing, but B2C real estate has seen some kind of slowdown and overall slowdown, plus, we have reached a certain scale. So, in that context, how practical is it to grow, say, retail slash wires, house wire segment above company level average?
You see, for company, whether we grow in extra high voltage, we grow in export, we grow in low tension, high voltage, because as of now, we are only just a projection. But overall, in the past also, sometimes we have grown in export, sometimes we have more grown in the retail, sometimes we have more grown in the institutional wire and cable. So these kind of things will remain as it is. But we don't know ki this sector will grow more, this sector will not grow more. But overall, because you see, and as an institutional sale, in a year, we are serving more than 2,000 clients, institutional clients in a year. We are having more than 1,900 dealer distributor all across the country. We are having our sale and export market more than 60 countries and the US has been added in this. So the very diversified customer base which we are having, on that basis in the last 15 years also we have grown by 14-15% CAGR. So now we are projecting a 16-17% growth, which we are already doing in last so many years.
Sure, noted. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So my question is, how much of the revenue for a full year for EHP EPC revenue?
Full year EHP EPC revenue, please note down. 147 crore as against 128 crore last year. EHP EPC.
Oh, okay. And regarding clarification on the EHV order book, that is, how much is that? That's 350 or 850?
850. 850 crore.
Okay. And the lastly, sir, you had earlier guided for the housing wire growth of 17-18% for 24. So is it largely...
No. 24, we have guided the overall sale of 16-17%.
Overall, so, you know, in the earlier call, actually, you had given some housing wire number for 17-18%. So you are revising to lower numbers, or that is largely on the volume side only you are guiding for, or...
No, for the guidance,
mm-hmm.
we will be growing more than the average company sale. In the past also, we have grown more than in the house wire segment. Like in the current year, we have grown 20%, but the house wire sale grown by 23%. So in future also, that trend will remain same.
Okay, and that's largely on a volume growth.
At present, you are talking of the value, so I am talking to you to the value first.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Devansh Mogodio from SIMPS. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Can you elaborate a bit more on the export opportunity that you mentioned, especially we emphasized on US, and what are the sectors which are gaining significant traction in exports?
In export, because we are dealing in so many countries, earlier we were not approved in the US market, so now our few of the products, the low tension power cable and the solar cable, has been approved.
The ST cable.
And the ST cable also approved by the US market, so we will be starting exporting to US market. That be said.
Basically, we need to take certain approvals from the underwriters laboratory in US. To sell in US, you need UL approval for specified products, which we have obtained after an effort of around 2 years. So, and become eligible to sell in the market, and hence the distributors over there are approaching us now, and we have already commenced sales from January 23 onwards and continuing.
Sir, the question is, because a lot of exporting cables have gained significant traction in last 3 to 6 months, so is it like for us it is only the company one acceptances that we have received, or overall for India there has been some significant change in the preference towards the Indian supplier in exports of cables? Has anything of that played out? Any perspective if you can share over here?
Of course, I mean a good acceptability of Indian products has come in the developed countries, and hence we are having the opportunity for that.
And which sector are giving traction in export cables? There is no significant sector.
Basically, power cables and solar cables.
Power and solar cables. Okay. And in case of EHV cables, we mentioned the order backlog of 850 crores, but our execution was low. So, and can you elaborate a bit more on the demand environment here? This is mainly domestic demand, or it also includes export?
See, at the moment, we are only talking of domestic demand.
Thank you. Mr. Devansh, may we request you to join the queue as there are other participants waiting their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Just what, you know, most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to kind of, you know, briefly understand between 2019 and now, you know, what would have been like our overall aggregate volume growth versus price growth? Because I mean, prices are like still 40-50% higher in terms of underlying commodities like copper and all. So if you have like a 3-year or a 4-year view, between volume and value, how much would the two you know, account for?
See, every year close to 13% to 15% volume growth is there. If like in the last financial year, if the prices are stable, so like our volume growth is also 20% last year, and then the value growth is also 20%. So right, if the price in a particular year got, then there is something different, but otherwise on an average, the price and volume is almost similar.
Because see, if I look at 19, our overall revenue was about a little over 4,000 crores. We are right now a little less than 7,000 crores. That's about 65% jump over a 4-year period. Commodity prices are also like 40% higher, 45% higher. So what was, let's say, per kilo price of copper or aluminium 4 years back, it is probably like, you know, 40% higher even today. So in that sense, does it make, would you say that volume growth would have been slower, I mean much lower over a 4-year period average?
See, in 17-18 versus 18-19, the copper was going down. 18-19 versus 19-20, again copper going down. Only then, first 1920 versus 2021 started copper going up. So it is on an average, sometimes it copper goes down also, sometimes copper goes up also. But we need to have both in terms of the value. So as a company, we are always focusing on the value, whether copper has gone down or copper has gone up, we are maintaining the growth of 16-17% year-on-year basis. To talk of this, 18-19 we have grown more than 20%. In 19-20 again we grown more than 18-19-20%. Even though both the years of copper prices was going down. So for us, because we need to have the balance sheet in terms of rupee, so we need to maintain the profit and we need to maintain the sale in terms of value.
Okay.
That's how we are increasing our customer base, increasing our geography for the products to market, whether it's exports or in domestic market or in retail market. That's how.
Okay. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two questions. One is, you know, a clarification on the recent comment you just made with respect to the value growth. Now, if I were to ask you, sir, if the copper price were to be down, say, 20% in FY24, but when you are talking about focusing on value growth, does that mean that the volume growth you will try to grow by 25-30%? How do we understand the pricing?
If anything goes exceptional, nobody can control. Right. If it is in the range of the normal fluctuation, then it will be controlled.
Right.
Suppose if your share market crashes, then how you will control the portfolio profit?
Got it. But sir, in terms of the pricing, when you are
normally, if the last year the correction was 10% range, then it is manageable. But if it is 20% correction, then it will not be manageable, because then in terms of value also we will hit. Maybe from 16-17 we may go to 11-12%. But it will not be the case, we will be flat. Because in last 15 years, it was 2009 also, 2013 also, 2020 also. Every year was there, and we have grown average CAGR growth of 14-15% in last 15 years, wherein we have seen all kind of fluctuations. The numbers are available with you for 15 years for our balance sheet.
Understood. Sir, just a clarification on the pricing. You know, you work on your prices or the margin on a rupees per meter or rupees per unit, or
sir, we maintain our EBITDA margin in terms of percentage. We calculate the cost of material and expenses, then we load our margin. That's how it is going on in the industry.
Even for the industry as well. Understood. Yeah. And just one clarification on the exports, sir. Which are the top five countries and what's their contribution and how much of our total exports is under own brand?
All our exports are under our own brand. We have not exported any product in somebody else's brand. And our top export markets are Australia, Middle East. In Middle East, basically Abu Dhabi and Kuwait. A few African countries in which Nigeria and Ghana are the main.
And its contribution, the total contribution of these countries in the total exports, would that be 60-70%?
Yeah, around 60%.
Got it. Thank you so much for the clarification, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I was just listening to the call and a rough calculation shows that the incremental sales from greenfield capex that you will need to generate a 13.5% EBITDA margin for the overall company. We need to lift the margin for the company by 1%, right? At the overall level. So we need a 13.5% EBITDA margin on the incremental revenue that we get from the greenfield capex. I just wanted to understand what will help us generate this 13.5% EBITDA on the incremental sales from the greenfield. You know, the products are going to be the same, right? Which are already generating 11% margin at the most.
See, when we will be doing this capex, we will not increasing the fixed overhead, light, head office people, or the top management and the marketing. So there is, because of that, the EBITDA expansion will be there, number one. Number two, our retail will increase in further, so, and export will increase further, so little bit EBITDA margin will be, expansion will be from there. So we are targeting not much EBITDA expansion, but we are targeting only 1.5% EBITDA margin in next 4 to 5 years.
Okay, sir. Okay. So secondly, can you give me the volume of copper and aluminium consumed in FY23 by the company?
Just a minute. The total metal consumed is 81,800 metric ton in 22-23, as compared to 68,000 metal consumed in 21-22. Okay.
Okay, this includes copper and aluminium, aluminium
yeah,
total,
copper,
right?
Both.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Raj from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. First is, if you can give any color on the active dealers. So what has been the expansion for this year and what is your guidance for the next 2 to 3 years as you are increasing the retail mix as a percentage of your sales?
Last year, our dealer expansion was close to 6% because we were having 1,500 number and 1,900. And this year also, we are targeting at least 100 to 150 dealer distributor to be adding in this financial year.
So as a percentage, that would be?
Close to 7-8% our target to increase number of dealer distributors. because that is the net.
We are strengthening the existing.
Strengthening the existing dealer actually, because we are more focusing to strengthening the dealer. Wherever the weak dealers are there, we are replacing with the new dealer.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the second question is that when you see the gross margin or the raw material mix as a percentage of your sales, that used to be around 70% pre-COVID or up to 19-20, but now we have seen that increase to 73% to 74%. So how do you see this going forward?
No, because you see the EBITDA margin in our case, because earlier the EPC scale was higher. So in EPC, the material was less and the manpower cost and the contracting cost was more.
Okay, so going forward, this types of raw material
will be on a EBITDA basis actually.
Okay. So the percentage would remain same going forward as it has been delivered.
Depend on the product to product basis. Like in extra high voltage is something different, wire is something different, the cable is something different. It's like that.
Okay. And also, if you could say in which pockets are we seeing more increasing demand from solar or from the data centers, or where has been the demand being very strong going forward, or is it currently quite strong?
Yeah, the demand is very strong from the data centers, 5G network which is coming up, then metro rails, urban rail transportation systems and the railways as a whole, and then the highways construction where lot of overhead lines are removed to make them underground, so that is also a big opportunity, and lot of tunnel ventilation projects are coming up in the railways and new railway lines and also the highways, which consumes substantial amount of cables. Apart from that, solar power is a big opportunity. Then power distribution and transmission companies are buying a lot. Third, the next is the solar and the industry like steel and expansion in steel, cement, petrochemical, oil and gas capex by all the oil companies. So these are the major opportunities which drives the cable.
Thank you. Mr. Raj, may we request you to join the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Hardik Rawat from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Rawat, you can ask your question, please.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. So my question was with regards to the metal consumption that you just stated, that you stated that roughly you've consumed about 81,800 metric tons of metal. And I presume that aluminium and copper are the two main metals that you source. So I just wanted to understand if you could give me a rough breakup of what percentage of it would be aluminium and copper.
So that breakup is not available right now. We will give you later. But the total metal consumption is available. That is 81,800 and versus 67,900.
Alright, and basis the estimates that you've given, you expect the EHV segment to grow roughly by about 60% in terms of sales value. So do you see that mix of sourcing changing?
No, nothing changes. Actually, we are having the capacity to produce close to 650 crore worth of material of EPC. Wherein, we were having the order last year also, but the issue was the clearances from the companies, those who are buying from us, that is the transmission companies, that was not available. Either their site was not ready or something else. So at present, we are having order book of 850 crore. As against, we cannot produce more than 650 crore. You see? And this is the year beginning. So lots of new order will also come. So we will be easily selling 600 crores worth of material for extra high voltage power cable this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one last question, if you'll allow me. What are the major countries that you source your metals from? Like top two, three countries, if you could mention.
Please repeat your question.
Top two to three countries from which you are sourcing the metals that you consume.
The raw materials we are sourcing or what we are exporting?
Raw materials, the metals.
So we are majorly sourcing our metal requirement from India, especially copper from Hindalco and Vedanta, and aluminium also from Hindalco and Vedanta and Nalco. Small quantity is being imported, which is against advanced licenses, against exports.
But
we are definitely importing XLP compounds and some other specialized materials for special cables and extra high voltage cables.
Thank you, Mr. Hardik. We move to the next question. Our next question is from the line of Harsha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Due to the opportunity, can you just provide the interest breakup for the quarter?
Please note down. For this quarter, the working capital interest is close to 7.77 crore and the bank charges is close to 2.5 crore.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Akshay Kotari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the supply side. So apart from the major players we know on the organized side, which are also doing a lot of capex on the wires and cables, are we seeing any supply from the unorganized / unbranded players also coming up?
So in the cable, there is no unbranded because cable is a approval-based process.
No, we are not aware of any unorganized player coming up significantly in the capex for further expansion of their capacity.
Okay. And based on your experience in this industry, whenever there is a supply, so supply actually comes at a point of time and then, demand will come over a period of time. So do we see any downward pressure on the margins in the initial phase of the utilization?
So far we have not seen, but we don't know the future market.
Understood. Lastly, sir, we are the sponsors for RCB, and how has been the response from the southern market post this development?
Actually, it has been good, but basically this sponsorships in RCB or KCT is not region specific. It is for all India basis. Ultimately, the spectators who see cricket, they see all over the country, and the major medium is either TV or digital. How many people go into the stadium to see, watch the matches? So it is the major effect comes from TV or digital media, the OTT digital media where nowadays people are watching the these cricket or matches, etc., on digital or the TV.
So can you just tell me advertisement expense as a percentage of sale, how much would it be?
On a yearly basis, we do around 35-38 crore rupees.
Which is around 0.5% of our sales.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot and all the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prashant Kotari from Pictet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two questions. One is that the dealer distribution channel revenues, if I look kind of what was happening, the growth was about 31% in the second quarter, 25% in the third quarter, and now it's 15%. So is there a slowdown out there in that channel?
So repeat your question, what you said?
No, You said that in Q4 it was 15%. That is what your question is.
Yeah, and it used to be much higher earlier on. So is there a slowdown in that?
Actually, you know what happened because of the continuous decrease in the copper prices. So there was a little bit of destocking at the distribution level. So hence the primary sales went down in the fourth quarter. But I am sure that the stock levels in the distributor self is very, very low. So it will pick up.
So do you expect higher growth rate in the financial year?
Yeah, always it will be higher because in the last year also as an overall growth in the dealer distributor business is higher as compared to the total sale of total increase in the sales. So in the future also, the same kind of trend will remain same. For a particular quarter we cannot say, but for a full year basis, our dealer distributor sale will be higher for the growth.
Okay. Understand. And on the working capital side, there's an excellent management of working capital so far. It also said that the future cash accruals will be used for CapEx as well as working capital. Are we thinking that the working capital base might expand going forward?
You see, only the inventory will remain the same. Only the receivable cycle, which is right now, has reduced to 2.4 months, which will further reduce to 2.2 months.
Thank you. That was the last question for the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you very much for dear friends for patiently listening to this investor call. I again reassure you that we are on the right track. We are very, focused on our business, and with the growth in the economy and the demand in the international markets, the company will continue to grow as guided. There may be some deviation in the growth rate in different product lines, but overall growth will be maintained as guided. If you still have any further questions, you can always reach out to us. Thank you very much for your patiently listening to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.